This is Carl Thomas, and you're listening to the Tomorrow's Leaders podcast with the Rising Stars. And today we are speaking to
Tom Morris from CBRE.
Tom, what do you do and who are you?
So I work in the Bristol office at CBRE, which looks after the South West and South Wales. On a personal level, I work in the capital markets team. As one half of my role, and the other half of my role, I am the managing director for the Bristol office. And the Bristol office itself, it sort of covers all the mainstream sectors, including valuation, property management, building consultancy, investment agency, and a few of the sort of national service lines as well, such as retail, M&G, and the Lloyds Bank contract.
Why are you in property?
Well, I sort of fell into property, if I'm honest. I was always going to be a Royal Marine. That was a sort of the childhood dream. But after multiple knee operations during sixth form, suddenly worked out that my body probably wasn't up to it. So went for a temporary job in Lloyds Bank at the time at Bristol, just as a property administrator. Sort of looked around as to where the more senior guys were, and obviously, you know, what degrees they'd managed to get to go forward with their careers. And as it happened, it was more along the sort of property management and investment route. So I walked myself up to UWE and managed to blag my way onto the course somehow. And as I say, sort of, you know, 13 years later, here I am.
13 years later, you're a rising star.
Yes, yes, yeah. Well, it was, as I say, it was 3 years fairly intensively on the property management and investment course at UWE. And then I started as a graduate in 2008 in the Bristol office for CBRE. Mm-hmm. And I've spent the last 10 years sort of going through the ranks there, trying to get a good degree of expertise across and experience across different sectors and different teams in the office.
What do you think of property as an industry? I mean, you've been here for quite a while, so there must be something that's keeping you here.
Yeah, no, indeed. It's a bit of a difficult one, really, property, because it's certainly within the schools that I went to. It's something which is not really talked about unless you've got sort of family or friends that are sort of part of a surveying background. You don't tend to sort of feed into it. And what I find is that, you know, when you're going through school, the sort of mainstream academic jobs, or whether it be a dentist, doctor, lawyer, accountant, they're all quite well publicised, but actually property wasn't. But when you work within it, actually, it's a fantastic career. For multiple reasons, but personally, for my own, you know, from my own point of view, it's something which I'm quite passionate about. I didn't realise I was until I got into it, and it's got that perfect balance about sort of academia, being able to socialise, network, get on with people, work within teams, have genuine interests, and help sort of shape the cities around you. And it's got that really good balance across all those different aspects, which is what attracts myself and what retains me as part of the property industry.
What's it been like being, you know, a relatively young person in the industry, you know, an industry that sort of, you know, rightly or wrongly has a bit of a reputation for being an old man's game?
Yeah, no, it's a fair comment. And yeah, unfortunately, I'm probably moving more towards the older man now, as I've been here for 10 years, than when I first started. But now, I suppose, to answer your question, I think it's an industry which is changing, and it is rapidly changing. I don't think that's just down to younger people coming into the profession, but also the diversity and the culture around what it becomes, or what it makes to become a property surveyor. I know certainly in Bristol, and during the last 10 years, half of the graduates we've taken on have been female, and actually have come from a completely diverse range of backgrounds. And I do think that, you know, sort of rewind 10 years ago, certainly the property industry probably had a stereotype, but I'd like to think in the last 10 years, certainly that's changed, and even more so in the last 5 years. Diversity and quality seems to be on everyone's agenda, and it's really helped to give the property profession a sort of wider breadth of talent, and again, it can only be positive for the industry going forward.
What do you think it will look like going forward, in the next 5-10 years? What are the biggest changes you're anticipating?
I think we'll see fundamentally how the office space changes. I think that's probably one of the major ones: how people work, how people live in cities. And so, you know, I suppose taking someone like Bristol or any of the major regional cities, we'll probably see the likes of WeWork come into them a bit more. People will want to be more flexible, more agile, They'll want to live in the city centres, and that doesn't mean within sort of, you know, converted secondary accommodation. They want to be in prime grade A accommodation, whether that be through sort of private rented or PRS, in the PRS sector in particular. So I think we'll see a change in dynamics in terms of how people live and work within our city centres. And also, I suppose, as a profession, we need to adapt to that and how we see that sort of moving forward and how we can all help that change. And I do think a part of that will be, in which we need to all embrace, but it's technology. And that can be every day, from how people use their workspace to how people work from home, how people are more agile and how they work. And it can also be a real assistance to some of our more mainstream sectors within the industry, such as property management, etc., and valuation, where actually technology could be a really useful tool going forward.
Mm. How much do you think property characterizes you as a person? You know, is it like, do you live property, or is there a big divide between professional Tom and out of work Tom?
Yeah, I think there is probably quite a big divide. In fairness, I try to keep the two quite separate. I think, you know, when I've got my work hat on, I'm very focused on what I do. You know, we're always trying to deliver the best that we can for our clients, whether it be that CBRE, whether it be in Bristol. But also, I think you need to detach yourself away from that. And I think when you're at home or when you're with your friends, you need to keep that very separate time. It's all, again, sort of going back to the work-life balance. But I do think it's key for people to try and disconnect these days. It's far too easy with the likes of a mobile, where you can be, you know, contactable, whether you're away from the office or whether you're on holiday. And I just think it's something that we'll probably see increase as the years go on. Some of the countries have different working ethics, and France, for example, where they'll sort of, you know, put semi-bans on contacting people outside of work hours. And that might be something that CBRE, you know, would potentially look to do, or the industry would look to do in years to come. Because I do feel at the moment there's the ability, because you can get contacted wherever you are in the world to do work, you know, that effectively that could become a detriment to people's work-life balance. So on a personal level, I think it's very important that you sort of distinguish the two. And also, you know, for your sort of family and friends as well, I wouldn't want to go home and, you know, for example, I've got a couple of young children. If they constantly saw me on my mobile or constantly working all the time, when you're meant to give them sort of, you know, your own time, I think that probably would be detrimental to them as well.
Mm. Yeah, it is interesting, because it seems like half the people you talk to will say, you know, you need that complete divide, and then half the people will say, oh, actually, you know, in coming years, work, life, and pleasure will all be in one place. And it'll be interesting to see who wins out in that.
Yeah, I think it's an enabler to be able to have the technology at your fingertips to be able to do work wherever you can, which certainly helps, because people can be more agile in what they do. But I do think it's important, for the reasons we just discussed, that you do have the ability at times to cut off from work and to enjoy time, you know, away from it, and to not sort of have that within your own headspace again. And that's for a whole host of different reasons, not being for, you know, mental well-being or whatever it might be. I just don't think we should be 100% focused on work. You should have time where you can sort of detach yourself from it and enjoy time with your friends and loved ones.
What do you do to detach?
I'm fairly busy away from work. As I said, it's either spending time with family, friends, trying to raise the kids as best as you can. And then on a personal level, I like to go out and sort of take on various challenges. So I've done sort of Ironman previously, or ultra marathons. And it's that sort of thing where I think if you can spend some time alone, where you're out doing a physical activity, it really does help sort of clear the mind.
Mm. Yeah, that's definitely the kind of thing I really want to get into. A good ultra marathon, I think, would be great.
Yeah, well, it'll certainly test your mettle, that's for sure.
Now, I ask this from every rising star. As a rising star, what's your favorite constellation in the night sky?
Favorite constellation in the night sky?
I don't prepare anyone for this question, so.
No, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. What would I say is my favourite constellation? Well, to be honest, I've spent many a night on the riverbank. And you tend to sort of, you know, have those moments where you're clearly not catching many fish, and you're lying back, staring up at the stars, wondering, you know, what's out there. And I suppose it probably goes back to the likes of, you know, the Men in Black, and you look at Orion's Belt and those sorts of constellations and think, yeah, okay, that's probably one that always sticks in the mind to me.
It's a classic one. And what advice would you have for other people, just getting started in property? What's the one lesson?
I would say not to try and specialise too quickly. I think if I was starting out again and I was looking to go into any city or any sector, I would try and get as much experience as possible. I was given that advice myself by one of our former UK MDs, who then wanted to lead up the EMEA part of our business. And he said exactly the same thing. He said, when you're going through your formative years, in the first, it doesn't really matter what the time period is, but just call it the first 2 to 10 years of your career, if you can spend multiple years in different departments, in different disciplines, picking up all a sort of wide range of experience, it'll always stand you in good stead. And that's what I tried to do, is to try and really look at working in all different departments, work with all the different types of clients of a different range of different properties and sectors. And I just think that helps you, especially when you're trying to progress your career further, just have that wealth of knowledge in the background.
Mm-hmm. And what's the aspiration now?
Well, as I said, I've only been in the current role for 3 months. So I think if anyone's listening to this that's more senior than I within CBRE, I think I better try and work out what I'm doing at present. So we've got some really good growth aspirations for the Bristol office in particular, where we're looking to grow and expand our current teams and also bring in new expertise, specifically around things like specialist markets, which we see as a real emerging market within our own sectors. As a side of that, the aspirations are to continue to grow, continue to learn, and see where the journey takes me.
Thank you, Tom.
No problem at all. Thank you very much.
And good luck.
Thank you.